Pacifico, Phil Hendry.
And it's the world-famous Phil Hendry Show here every night till 1 o'clock on the West Coast, 4 a.m. on the East Coast, a news talk and entertainment show that knows what it's talking about. Truth is our bitch. And we're going places other talk shows wish they could, but they can't. It's too late now, boys. Nonetheless, it's nice to be with you. We're here every night, Monday through Friday. We're also online at philhendryshow.com with Phil TV and HD, which is our live video cast of each and every single solitary live show that we do. And we have as well philhendryradio.com, where you can download our podcast. It's free. You go over to philhendryshow.com, and it's a backstage pass, which affords you thousands of hours of great audio. Philhendryradio.com is a free site. We have 24/7 streaming material from our archives. We also have our podcast there, though, there for you to listen to and to get a sense, get a taste, get a feel for the show. And perhaps I shouldn't use that word taste as we pick through the news today after one of the most horrific bits of news that any of us have ever encountered. In its own way, it's probably more traumatic than anything you could possibly imagine. Even the attacks of 9/11 had their own horror. But this thing that happened in Miami is something right out of it's something right out of a psycho thriller of some kind, because it's real, and it involves mental illness, it involves homelessness, it involves being defenseless, it involves being defenseless both as a victim and also as the perpetrator. We're finding out is a man that could well have been either psychotic or, and I'm not excusing this, he might have been under the influence of a hallucinogen called bath salts, which... Excuse me for being stupid, but and I don't think I'm alone here, but I think there were a lot of people who thought, can you take bath salts and like process it into a hallucinogenic drug? I didn't know that, but that's the way I was thinking. It's silly, but nonetheless, it is true. And this has affected a lot of people in a lot of different ways. It's a national story. Joining us on the line from Corona, California, is Stephen Bozell, whose family... is his wife, his daughter, his son. They have been following this news as well. Steve, thanks for joining us as just a guy out there. And you and I are both here in California. Is there something about this crime that seems specifically East Coast?
I have to say that I'm listened to a little bit to the commentary, and this is completely out of my experience. And you just said it very well. It's the kind of crime that you would think could be made up in that Hannibal Lecter or some sort of thing like that, but you never think that the sort of things is going to happen.
And yet, you know, with all the vastly improved communication and the need for news, we have, as I've often said, we have a million different ways of delivering information now, but there isn't a whole hell of a lot that people have to say. So what's happening is they're just news, the delivery of news has become almost indiscriminate. And I'm not saying that they should report things like this, but it does become national.
Well, I think you made a good point a while back, Phil, when you said that now a neighborhood prank becomes a cause for national news because we think there's something wrong with our children. I think it was...
I think that was a story about an outhouse.
Yeah, there was an outhouse that had been turned over, and a kid was inside it. And it's just a neighborhood prank, but that made the national news because today we take everything as some sign that the society is falling apart. I think that this one particular crime, though, has thrown me off.
And in what way?
I don't know. It has caused me concern as to the state of mental health, of drug use, and just what's going on. And it's thrown me off.
And when you say it's thrown you off, what do you mean? Is it tough to work?
Well, it's tough to concentrate. I was thinking of this thing all this particular crime all day long, and I had mentioned to. Jerry, who is our executive secretary, that I was concerned about this guy in Miami who'd eaten the guy's face, and she said to me that she'd heard the story. When I mentioned it to her again just after lunch, she started to act, I think, a little, you know, a little rude.
What do you mean?
Well, I mean, she just didn't want to listen to me. I wanted to talk to her, and I went over and I talked to Cliff, who's on our crew. I tried to talk to, and I tried to communicate to as many people as I could what's going on and what's going down. And you don't really get the understanding, because I think everybody's processing it differently.
We're talking with Steve Buzel about the Miami. They're calling it the Miami Cannibal case. What do you think of that?
I think that it's what that, and that's what it is. And
well, I mean, a cannibal is someone that consciously eats human flesh for, you know, in the last organized cannibal societies that I ever heard of were in the South Pacific for a way of absorbing the bravery of their opponent. You know, it was almost like a spiritual thing.
I don't know. You know, the cannibal is someone that eats flesh. We've had, you mentioned walking, these stupid shows, Walking Dead. I need to get myself together, and I don't know what kind of individuals are running around and what we're going to do about it. I know that I'm being manipulated by the news media. You mentioned cannibals. You mentioned I'm being forced into thinking a certain way that, you know, this is a zombie attack. And I know that that's happening to me, and I resent it because I do believe it. And as a result, I need to get my head together. And I think a lot of American men are going to be feeling the same way, or a lot of Americans are going to be feeling the same way.
All right, we're talking with Steven Buzel from Corona, a father and a business owner, about the Miami attack. When you say that you need to get your head together because you've been manipulated, but you know you're being manipulated, if you know you're being manipulated, why don't you stop being manipulated? You know what I mean?
I am. Whenever I know it, and I know what I'm being manipulated, I can look at a newspaper headline and I can see Miami cannibal story. And I will say, that's them trying to manipulate me, and they have. Now, I'm scared, okay? If you check it out, it's really interesting, and I would encourage your audience members to check it out. Check out what's happening to you. They say Miami cannibal, and then you get scared. You know you're being manipulated, and now you're scared because you have been manipulated. And then the next thought is you need to get your head together. And I don't know too many people that are going to take the steps that I'm taking, which is to get out of town and just get off by myself so I can process this information. I've got a wife and I've got two children that I love very, very much. But I've got to get out of here because I'm afraid that this kind of thing may happen again. I don't know where, and I need to process this. I need to know, how am I being manipulated? Why am I still being manipulated when I know I am? And I also need to get clear of the major urban area that I live in, so this doesn't happen to me. And so I need to process all of this, and the only way I can do that, I've got a friend who has a lot.
Just to interrupt you, Steve, you're looking to leave alone or with your family?
No, I have to leave alone. I've got to get away. I'd take them with me, but I don't have right now. We don't have the funds to take the whole family. I need to get out and process this. I wish I could afford to take my wife and my kids. I need to leave them back in L.A., and I got to get out of there, because if this is some kind of a...
Look, you know, you're sounding almost like you believe in some massive zombie attack.
No, I don't believe that. What I'm saying is, sir, if there's a drug, they said there's a drug, they're using a drug, you know, and there's other incidences of this. I'm not saying I don't believe there's zombies, although I do get scared of it because I've been manipulated. I can't explain it. I wish I could make the words come out the way I need them to come out, because
what I'm hearing you say is that you're very frightened by the event that happened in Miami.
Yes, sir.
All right, and you are being further frightened by the news media. You know you're being manipulated by them, but you're still letting it happen somehow, and so you need to leave town?
I need to get... I think when you say I need to leave town, it makes me sound like I'm some kind of a, you know, as we used to say in school, a CS. You know, a chicken...
Okay.
I'm not a CS. I just need to get out and process this at my friend's, who lives up, he's got a lodge up in Ontario, Canada. You've asked me if I'm going to take my family. I know it makes me sound like I don't have no guts, but I can't afford to take them too, is all I'm saying. And I know what that makes me sound like, but I'm not that.
Well, if you're not taking your family because you can't afford it, but you can afford to send yourself, why wouldn't you send your family?
Well, I can't afford to send all of them, so I'm going myself. I know it's
like you're saving yourself.
Somebody has to be saved. I mean, if this were to happen, someone would have to be saved. It makes more sense that I be saved, and I don't want anything to happen to my family.
I understand that.
But I need to get my head together, because they're handling it better than me. And that's the only thing I can say about it.
All right, so this is not about you being saved. You need to get your head together, because your family, which is your son, Stephen, you got your daughter and your wife, they're handling this better than you. You're in need of some...
Yeah.
Well, what about medication? What about hospitalization?
No, I'm not. No, sir, I'm not crazy. I just need to process what to do if this gets bigger than it is right now.
All right, let's talk on the other side of our break. Stephen Bozell is our guest as he talks about how frightening the Miami cannibal attack was to him. So frightening that he feels the need to leave town, to get away from the city that he lives in, and process this, get his head together, and calm down. His wife and kids remain at home. 877-876-7445, 877-876-PHIL. It's the world-famous Phil Hendry Show, and we'll be right back.
Truth is our bitch. The Phil Hendry Show.
The world-famous Phil Hendry Show. With us is Steve Bozell from Corona, California. And we're going to be talking as well, I think, later on in this hour with Jay Santos, Citizens Auxiliary Police, about the attack in Miami. Very gruesome, extremely traumatic to read about. And the first thing that I think everybody feels for the victim. And, Steve, what was your first reaction when you heard the story?
I want to say that I felt for the victim. I did. I was also, the first thought was that I need to get to a place. Your first thought is to get to a place of safety. I'm not saying that there's that this is going to happen to me. I mean, that was in Miami, but your first reaction, obviously, is to get to a place of safety. And that's why I felt that I needed, and I do need to get to Ontario. My family will be here. I feel really in my bones they'll be okay.
So the first thought you had wasn't for the victim, it was for yourself.
No, Mr. Hendry,
Well, I mean, that's what you're saying. I'm not judging you, but...
No, sir, that is not what I... No. My first thought was for the safety of that man, but I also thought of him. I saw myself in him. I saw myself in that man. And that troubled me.
All right, let me take a phone call, because I know there's an awful lot that you're processing here. 877-876-PHIL, as we talk with Stephen Bozell about the Miami, so-called Miami cannibal attack. Here is Trey. You're on the Phil Hendry Show. Trey, go ahead, please.
Hey, I just wanted to let you know this isn't the first time something like that has happened that's been drug-related. Back,
uh-huh.
I read this about a year ago, and it was a few years back when this happened. I'm not exactly sure. Like I said, I read it a year ago, so I might not have the whole story in my mind anymore, but a guy was on PCP and broke into this girl's house, raped her, and then proceeded to eat her face and part of her lungs, and then the police found him naked running down the street shouting at the sky.
That's messed up. Steve?
Yeah, he was on
I'm not aware of that story. You say it was on PCP. What city? Do you know the city that that gentleman was in, sir?
I have no clue. You can Google it, though. It's out there.
Because this is what I was saying about this being more than one time.
But when you say more than one time, it's not an epidemic, though.
Oh, no, like this was years back when it happened.
Right.
Okay, sir, this is Steve Ozell. When you say years back and it was influenced by drugs, it is possible that if someone is using PCP or any other kind of sedative hypnotic, of course, PCP is also a stimulant, that you can... You've heard, too, about how these people take their clothes off. And probably because...
I think they do that because they get warm. I think the body's temperature or something, or the blood pressure goes up, and they strip their clothes off.
Okay, but what was the other guy? His clothes was off. And my fear was that it was some kind of a gay... If it was a gay encounter that went wrong... So I think my people were drug influenced.
Yeah. Let me ask you, Trey, do you ever feel frightened enough to leave the city and go someplace else to be safe?
No, not at all.
That makes me sound, Mr. Henry, like I'm...
Well, but isn't that what you're doing?
I'm doing it. I want to process it. All I'm saying is, this gentleman brought up one case where a man ate a woman's face. You had a man get his face eaten in Miami. That's too many. For me. And I think a normal, prudent response would be for me to check flights out of Los Angeles.
Even though this took place in Miami?
Yes, sir.
All right, Trey. Thanks for your call, sir.
What happens in Ontario?
Did you hear that, Steve?
What's that?
What if it happens in Ontario, Canada?
If it happens in Ontario, Canada, where I'm going to be in Ontario, though, sir, is away from the major metropolitan area. Are you saying it would happen in the wooded area, in the woods, something? That's where I'm.
Hey, drug users can wander around anywhere, right?
That's right.
Well, you see, what I'm trying to do is get away from it and process it, so when I come back to my family, I can feel like a man for the first time and not be scared.
It sounds but more if like you need to go to a deserted island or something where there's not going to be any chance of anybody coming around.
I know that this makes me sound as if I...
It sounds a little cowardly, sir.
Excuse me, sir, but I would fight to the death for my family.
Then why are you going to Ontario to a lodge far away from everything?
I need to process what's going on. Are you not... Don't you feel... that a guy eating someone's face is something you need to process? It is for me.
It's a guy who was nuts on drugs, who committed a heinous crime. Cops see it every day. It's sick. It's messed up. It's part of our urban environment today. The drug use is out of control. We have to get help for these people. That's what happened.
And if this guy finds me, like this gentleman says, in the woods of Ontario, and I get my face... removed at a fishing lodge. Think about that.
All right. Trey, thank you, sir, for your call. I appreciate it. 877-876-PHIL, 877-876-7445. We are talking with Stephen Bozell. When you say at a fishing lodge, Steve...
that's where I'm going to be. That's what I've told my wife and my children, that I would be there. I don't want them to bother me, and I know when I told your producer that, he immediately came back with what I thought was not a very, I thought it was very rude. For you. He said, are you just going to go up there and cry and hide? I said, no, sir, I'm not. I'm going up there to get to process it and get my head together. And if you can sit there with news about a man who decides that the best thing for him to have for lunch, and I'm being funny, or I'm trying to be, and I don't think I am funny, but or at least not now, I don't feel like it, but the best thing he can think of for a late afternoon snack is to go ahead and have face. I don't think any of that, Mr. Henry, is anything you think about. I think you look for a place to go where you can process
And, all right, well, the word process sounds a little bit like, you know, you're afraid. Stephen Bozell reacting, this man is reacting to the crime in Miami by leaving his family and going somewhere far away to get away from what he thinks could be an epidemic of this kind of violence. 877-877, I don't know how you leave your family if you're worried about something like that. 877-876-7445. This is the world famous Phil Henry Show. I'll be right back.
Guys, you're having faith.
Phil Henry.
Welcome back here on the world-famous Phil Henry Show. On the line with me is Stephen Bozell from Corona, California, as we're discussing with him this, with him as a father and as a husband, and there's others. We're going to have Jay Santos of the Citizens Auxiliary Police on with us later. Talking about this attack in Miami, this vicious, horrific attack that, I'm sorry, we have, I'm just trying to... What do we got there? Okay, I'm sorry, folks. I just had a slight technical problem. Stephen, I didn't mean to leave you in the lurch there, sir.
It's all right.
We're going to take some phone calls, but the last comment we had was from someone saying that, you've got to go to a desert island.
No. What I'm trying to do, and I'm trying to educate your listeners as well as you, Mr. Henry, what I'm trying to educate you is there's a difference between being... processing it from a safe distance.
What about your family?
Okay, well, hold on. There's a difference between processing from a safe distance an event that is seems to be from a dream world but is real, and that is a man who's decided to eat another man. And that happened on a causeway in Miami, sir.
But what about your family? When you say processing from a safe distance...
See, again, this is the manipulation of the media. When they are telling me there's cannibal killers, and now you come along and you talk to me about my family. And you can talk to me about my family all you want, sir. But I know that the media has made it worse, not better. They come on and say there's a cannibal killer, or the zombies are loose, or however they say it. And you come on and you ask me about, if I'm going to man up. And all of this is a manipulation of the media, that's why I need to process and get my head together, because it's a shower of you-know-what. It's a shower of BS.
And no, I don't think it's a shower of BS to ask that question, what about your family? 877-876-PHIL, because you are leaving. You want to leave town and get to a safe distance, but the family, your wife, your son, your daughter, are still here. Here is Robert on the Phil Henry Show. Go ahead, Robert.
Hey, what's going on, everyone? How's it going?
Yes, sir.
Hey.
Yes, sir. Hello.
Hi. My dad, who's, my greatest hero right now, throughout my life, really, he told me something when I was growing up, and, obviously my voice, you could tell that I'm not very old. I'm 24. I own my own business. I'm in Newport Beach, but he told me that, being a man, it's
where,
not
where
your
you
age. I'm sorry?
You're in Newport Beach where, sir? Is that
Newport
in California?
Beach, in California, yeah. So,
okay.
Maybe an hour away from you.
Okay.
You're up in Corona, so I'm right down in Newport Beach. But, he
yes,
said,
sir.
Being a man really isn't the fact of being your age, Society puts a thing on being an adult, and adult is, what your age is, 21, 18, whatever it may be, but... he said that being a man is the difference of, standing up to fear, to stand up to your problem. When you come to that brick wall, to break through it, you may not always be able to do it by yourself, but, with the support of your family, in your case. Now, I'm not trying to tell you what to do by any means at all, because, you have children and you experience a love that I, right now do not know. He said, with the experience of your family,
You talked about your father, and now you do not know the love. Well, I don't understand that.
Kid.
See, this is what scares me.
Yep. And he doesn't have a family as you do. He's talking about he loves his father, but he's not yet a father himself.
Okay, I'm sorry.
So you don't think that it's a viable fact that being a man is actually standing up for your family? In the worst-case scenario, you're going to be there. You're going to be the head of that family and lead them through the darkest of times. Even if you think that maybe like two incidences is the darkest of times, you're saying that you will leave?
Well, yes, son, but I don't mean to call you son. I mean, I realize you're a man.
Yeah, I know, that's fine. We're being
positive. And in a lot of ways, you're more, you know, you own your own business at 24.
I do, yes. I'm a U.S.
See, that's again, and I have to ask Mr. Andrews, do you know who this man is, sir?
Who's that?
The gentleman on the phone.
No, I don't know this gentleman.
Because
this...
I wondered if Mr. Henry had set this call up, because you owning your own business at 24, that doesn't, that makes me
that
feel like
sound
even,
right, because
I feel like less of a man. I don't feel like,
sounds right?
No, I'm saying I feel like even less of a man now that you
because
have your
I'm
own
an
business.
Ambitious young man, you feel less
Look at Steve, you have said you want to leave town to process all of this stuff. You're leaving your family behind. You're challenged and you're, you know, feel inferior to this young man who has his own business. What's going on with you?
What is going on with me, sir, is a guy ate face in Miami. And both of you gentlemen think it's just another day at this beach.
No, I don't.
That's exactly not it at all. The grim reality is that someone got obviously a bad batch of drugs, you know, and I don't know.
We don't know what happened, you know. But we don't know what happened. He might have had a bad batch. The guy might be psycho. But you're right. You're right. There's something that caused a psychotic event.
And that's why I need to process it. That's why I need to get it out of town as fast as I can.
And leave your family here. And that's the thing that is causing me some consternation. And I would say that your father was absolutely right, Robert, when he said, you know, I heard it said, Mark Twain said it. It's not getting rid of fear. It's not being afraid. It's challenging fear and overcoming it, which I think is
correct.
What your dad was saying.
Did you say that way? I said it poorly, of course.
No, you said it better than I quoted Mark Twain. Maybe if we had Mark Twain here.
Mr. Andrew, you're talking to this young man like I don't even exist.
I was just complimenting him on his father's tuition of him, of his education of this young man. I think it's a, thank God we have fathers like that. Don't you agree?
Yes, I do. But are you saying that I'm not one of them?
I'm saying
you
could be. I'm saying at this particular time, I want to know why it is you want to leave your children and your wife, though.
So that makes me some kind of a chicken.
You know what, Steve? Robert, thank you for your call. I appreciate it, man. Good call. 877-876-7445. Let's go here to Joe. Hey, Joe, you're on the Phil Henry Show with Steve Bozell.
But I wanted to follow up.
Yes, sir.
You know, just responding off what the last caller, Robert, said, you know, just all in all, just listening, I just wanted to make one little comment. You know, I'm a trucker, I travel all across the nation. You know, after hearing that incident about the guy getting his face ate off, in no way, shape, or form did I feel that my family was a farmer up in Ohio. And the same thing after the Jeffrey Dahmer, another cannibal,
Yeah.
Now,
that's a good point.
Did the caller, did he up and move away after that happened? Or, I mean, what, is he just find a different, you know, thing?
When the Jeffrey Dahmer incident happened, I delayed. I was engaged to be married, and we delayed the engagement because I felt I didn't know what was going to happen. And
wait, you delayed what?
I'm sorry, I said delayed. We delayed the marriage. I was engaged, and we had a scheduled marriage. If you remember, the Dahmer incident happened sometime in September of, I think it was 91. And I, or 90, and we were supposed to be married that month, and I put it off because I needed to check that out. What's going on with that?
So the answer, yeah, go ahead, Joe.
I don't think it's the cannibal thing is the issue. I think there's an underlying issue that he has to deal with. And I just think he, in my own opinion, that he's using this, you know, as a cover-up for another issue. Like I said, thanks for taking my call.
Thank you very much, sir. Drive carefully. Yeah, drive carefully, too. That's Joe. All right, so there's a couple of opinions that essentially...
what they're essentially saying is that I don't have the sand, and I anticipated that because, again, the media manipulation that's gone on for me to walk by a newsstand and I see zombies on the loose, or they don't...
There's no headline that says that.
No, I know that, but that's what I see because of the manipulation. But I thank God, Mr. Henry, I'm above intelligence, or I'm above the intelligence. How do you?
You're above average.
Yes, sir. I'm sorry that I know I'm being manipulated when I see a headline like that, and also so I know I'm being manipulated as I am being manipulated. Now, when Jeffrey Dahmer was on the loose and was, you know, the horrible things that he did, he had bats. Full of all kinds of human organs, and was out in public, you know, eating this stuff or whatever he was doing.
No, he wasn't. He was in his apartment.
Okay. That was when April and I were going to get married, and I postponed the marriage. I walked in the middle of the reception hall. They were decorating the reception hall. And I'd seen the news, and I was stunned. And I was so stunned that I remember I'd seen the news about this man in Milwaukee, and he was eating God knows how many boys, and I remember being so stunned that I drove, and I really didn't know where I was going, but I found myself driving to the reception hall where April and her mother and her sisters and friends were decorating the reception hall. And I walked in, and I said to them, are you having a good time? And they said, yeah. And I said, really enjoying what you're doing? They said, yeah. I said, well, guess what? It's off.
And so you walked in there and were a big party pooper. You just...
I didn't mean to be, but I had to say to them, I thought I was trying to soften the blow, but I guess I wasn't.
No, I'd say that you weren't. I'd say that what you did to them, what you did to your wife-to-be, was probably disappointed the living hell out of her. You know, I actually know somebody that happened to, a good friend of mine, and they were two very good friends of mine. And she, but at the time, it's a long story. So go ahead.
No, I want to hear it.
No, I don't want to tell you the story. So go ahead.
I got back in my car after I told April it's off, and I got back in my car and I drove and drove. I must have drove for hours. And she finally reached me at a, I had stopped up here in Tracy in Northern California. Or actually, no, I was in Tennessee at the time, so I don't know where. But I had stopped and to get the onion roll they got at that one place. I think it's called Hague's Ranch. Do you know the place, Phil?
No, I don't know the place. I don't really know where you're going here.
They've got an onion loaf.
I don't give a damn if they got an onion loaf. I'm asking you what this has to do. The Jeffrey Dahmer thing stunned you?
Yes, sir, it did. It stunned me and it hurt me. And you can hear my voice. You know, I'm trying to tell you I'm a man. I'm a man like any other man. And I thought I'd come on your program to say that I'm a man. And all that's happened is I've had other guys call up, and they're more man than me, and one of them was 24, and he runs a lemonade stand or something, and he's got it hanging lower and heavier and deeper. He's got 9 pounds of...
Okay, hold on. Let's take a break, because this is a caller who's, you know, there's all kinds of mental illness. Some of it may just be a slight neurosis. I think that's what we have here. Although this guy is allowing himself to be driven out of town from the fear of what happened in Miami and leaving his family here. And he doesn't see that as anything other than what it is, a real act of cowardice. 877-876-PHIL, 877-876-7445. It's the world-famous Phil Henry Show, and we will be right back right after this. Jay Santos coming up.
Truth is our bitch. The Phil Henry Show.
We'll be right back. Phil Hendry Show.
877-876-PHIL, world-famous Phil Hendry Show. On the line with us here is Stephen Bozell from Corona, California. We will have Jay Santos of the Citizens Auxiliary Police in a moment to talk further about the incident in Miami. Very gruesome. During our pre-show, we showed the some of the coverage from one of the national, I believe it was actually a British newspaper, and as you well might imagine, Miami news is important in Great Britain because there's a lot of people that vacation in South Florida. And the coverage that they gave to this was extensive. They showed as much as they could of the crime scene, and it was just horrible. We're talking with Stephen Bozell from Corona, California, and his fear that this could be some sort of an epidemic. He's decided to leave town.
Right, yeah, and sir, you know, Mr. Andy, I'm
not interrupting you, sir. I just want to finish this. Decide to leave town to process this.
Yes, sir, and what has happened, I think, is people have misunderstood, and they think that I've got no, you know, if I can say that I got no balls.
Well, I don't think you've made a very good case in the other direction. I'm not necessarily believing that that's true about you. Okay, let me go to a phone call here. 877-876-PHIL. This is Joe. Go ahead, Joe. You're on the Phil Hendry Show.
Yeah, I'm here.
You're on the air.
Not to disrespect you in any way about your manhood. Everybody has different levels of manhood. What I think you should do is if you're going to leave your family behind, then go ahead and do it and stop keeping them lingering. Because I think you're going to end up hurting them more by just sitting there saying, oh, I don't know if I'm going to go, or I'm going to go. Just go ahead and go. So the people start.
Well, but you're making it sound like I'm some kind of a CS because you went, because of the way you said
I'm
that.
Not.
Huh?
Yeah, no, I'm trying to get you to understand that you just need to go ahead and do it because I think you're going to end up hurting them more by just sitting there keeping them in limbo. Well, at least if you make the move to decide to go ahead and leave, well, then at least they can begin the healing process.
Why don't you do that, Steve? Why don't you just go ahead?
Well, what do you mean by a healing process? So my wife goes out and finds some other... What are you talking about?
That's her choice. That's her choice. You chose to leave. She chose to find something else.
Oh, boy. No, that's not why. I'm not saying to her that she gets to go out and go to, you know, go to the barnyard dance or whatever she's going to do. I'm just saying I need to process. See, this is why people are misunderstanding me, Phil. And,
well, Steve, the effect of
it. I'm just saying, just do it. Just go ahead and make the move. What happens?
Yeah, but you're scared. Well, you're saying that when I make the move, that my wife is free to go to the borderline and dance with every guy.
No, you said that. I didn't say that. I said if you're going to make the move, let the healing process begin. Let her pain heal because obviously you're hurting them by just keeping them in limbo by saying, yes, I want to go, but you know what? Let's go ahead and put it on the media and on the radio show and let's do this, that, and the other. So everybody
can talk
about it instead of making the move.
Yeah, that's right. You got your stuff out in public here.
You know, Mr. Hendry, I'm having a hard time deciding. The last couple of days I've asked my family to weigh in. Should I leave? Should I not?
And you're asking your family to weigh in on you.
You know, and I'm
limbo.
What am I supposed to?
What are you afraid is going to happen, man?
I'm going to get attacked, or there's some kind of. I don't know what this is. I don't think any of us do.
I know what it is. It's another crazy ass who was either on some psychosis-inducing drug or psychotic himself. It's a unbelievably unacceptable thing. Nonetheless, the result of mental illness. Maybe bad parenting. You know, I doubt that. But I mean, I think the guy's passed, you know.
Okay, well, that guy's making a joke. And you. Why are you guys so relaxed about it?
Well, what is it with you?
We're not keeping our family in limbo. You are. You need to get out and let them start healing either way.
Well, I would have to ask you at this time, sir. Do you live in... Do you live in the Los Angeles area, sir?
I live in Fresno.
Okay. See, you know, I leave town, and you're going to come swooping in, and you're going to, you know...
He's not talking about that. He's talking about get this thing moving along. You're going to do one thing or the other because then people can make decisions. I appreciate your call very much, sir. It's Joe, right? Joe? Thank you. Our number 877-876-7445. This is Orlando on the Phil Hendry Show. Go ahead, Orlando.
Hello.
thing is I can't understand what the confusion is. I mean, I have kids, no wife, of course, but I do have my kids.
Well, the last thing you want is you want.
I couldn't see or imagine something happening that bothered me, worried me enough that I would leave, but I would leave my children.
Right.
Well,
nothing
not leave
in
it.
This world would make me leave my children.
What about a guy, okay, what about a guy eating your face and you're nude? What about you nude? God.
What is that? What kind of a question is that? What kind of a question?
What happened to that guy? That guy was nude, and his face is gone. Now, if that's going to happen to you, I'd take my chances in the woods of Ontario.
Well, you know what? They may find you up there, too, Steve. We'll be right back on a world-famous Phil Henry show. Thank you very much, Steve.
Yeah, sure, whatever.
God, man.
Well, I mean, I'm telling you, Very unfair.
Phil Henry.